There it is. Let's stand and read today's scripture passage. Here we go. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Thank you. You may be seated. Spoke to a pastor this week, and he was sharing part of his life story with me. So he said that before he entered into the ministry, he had another profession, and in that profession, he was making a good deal of money. It was a good profession. And so in this profession that he was in, he was almost ready to retire at a young age because the profession was so good to him financially. So he's within about a year or two of just saying, I'm done, I'm going to retire, I'll do something else with my life, I don't need any more money. And all of a sudden he got a call to the ministry. So he got a call to the ministry and decided to leave that profession and enter the ministry, which he did gladly. And he entered it quite financially solvent as a result of his previous profession. And then in the ministry, because of his big heart, his very big heart, people would come up to him because they knew he had substantial amounts of income, money, and so they would ask for loans, and he would give them loans. And of course, he would say, you know, pay me back when you can, and promise to pay me back, and they did, and he did that a number of times. And he shared with me this week that he can no longer retire as he thought he could before, because people are not keeping their word. They're not keeping their faithful promise to pay him back thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that he and his dear wife lent out, and supposedly to Christians who have not kept their word, who have not kept their promise despite what they said they would. And that's what today's passage is all about. When we give an oath, when we give a vow, better pay it. And don't fudge. And we're going to talk about fudging today, which is what the Pharisees were doing. So let's put the main point up there. Here's a sermon title. Is your word enough? It ought to be. Main point, only the wicked. And I'm going to say only non-Christians. This is not something Christians do. So only the wicked play word games like the Pharisees were doing in this passage of Scripture here to avoid the cost of integrity. And we're going to find out in our passage that the Pharisees were not wanting to tell the whole truth. And when they made a commitment, they didn't feel like they wanted to be held to that commitment. So they would make oaths based on something other than legitimate oaths that we make today. So only the wicked play word games to avoid the costs of integrity. Believers are called to be truthful at all times, and their word is to be a reliable guarantee of performance. Like my friends back in Pennsylvania, the Amish, I love watching the Amish work, and they would not take a contract. They would not sign an agreement. They would say, my word is my word. And it was. A whole house. I'll build you this house for X amount of money. No, I'm not going to sign a contract. My word is my word. I bet it came from this passage of Scripture. Could be. Could be. Our context is, of course, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is there somewhere near Capernaum on a hillside, which is actually called the hillside of the Sermon on the Mount, and preaching to this vast crowd. Disciples were in front, supposedly, we think they were, and so much of the sermon was to them. Then there were people who were seekers thinking about it. Then there was the Pharisees in the back, and Jesus was talking to the entire group that was in front of him. And so what really the Sermon on the Mount is, it's all about what genuine kingdom life. I don't want us to be confused. Sometimes I think we can get confused. If we say the Christian life, People can say, because they've heard in some churches, well, the Christian life is all about being forgiven and not so much about being obedient. No, the kingdom life is all about obedience. The kingdom life is all about loving God's law. Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, loving the law. The law is beautiful. The law is good to every Jewish person back in that day, and even today if they're Orthodox, by the way, maybe not so much in the other parts of Judaism, the Reformed or the Conservatives, but the Orthodox, if you talk to the Orthodox about the law, what are they going to say? The law is beautiful. The law has given us life. The law is God telling us how to be prosperous and successful and enjoy His fellowship with us day by day. The law is a wonderful thing. Don't get this misconstrued in the Christian life that the law is bad, because we talk about Jesus fulfilling the law and giving us a much better understanding of the law, expounding on it, filling it out, being the fulfillment of the law. Some of the things, of course, we told you are signs just to Israel. So the Sabbath is a sign to Israel. Circumcision was a covenant relationship with Israel. So those things are no longer. The sacrifices, of course, were fulfilled at the cross. So some of the things of the Old Testament law are no longer valid. Of course, we understand all that. And Christ now has spoken to us and fulfilled more portions of the law. The law is good. The law is a wonderful thing. So here we find the Pharisees who are twisting the law, twisting it. And somehow in their Pharisaical mind, they think that, you know, here's the standard of the law, but we don't, because we're so spiritual and because we're so holy in God's eyes, we really don't have to do this standard of His holiness. We create our own standard. And we're okay with that. And we're good with that. And so Jesus is saying, no, no. What you are doing is stupid. What you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is living by your fleshly desires. So let's get into our text this morning. We looked at it. We read it. And I want to describe point number one. Let's talk about oaths. So oath, what is an oath? An oath is when a person swears, I swear by some higher authority, usually God Almighty, that number one, He agrees. What we're doing is saying God agrees with what I'm about to say. I swear in a court of law, I put my hand on the Bible, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. So what we are saying is God in heaven is my witness that I'm telling you the truth. He is agreeing with me. But secondly, that if I don't tell the truth and I tell a lie, then God's going to hold me accountable. I will be punished by God. That's the idea, putting your hand on the Bible in a court of law today. So oaths, that's what an oath is about. Oaths are a good thing, all right? So if you turn in your Bibles, I'm going to have you turn in a number of portions of Scripture today, and so get your fingers working, because we're going to go to a lot of them. Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 says exactly this. Oaths are used to verify what you're saying is true, or what you intend to do, you will do. I make an oath. I promise to do this, and God will hold me accountable. He knows in my heart, I want to do this, I promise to do this, I'll be faithful to do this, and if I don't do this, then God's going to hold me accountable, He's going to punish me if I don't. And so sometimes when there's a disagreement between people, where's the boundary line? You stay there, you stay there, we'll stay on either side, like Jacob and Laban did in the Old Testament. You don't pass this monument, I won't pass this monument, we'll take an oath. God above is going to make sure that we don't get in each other's face anymore after today. That's an oath, they took an oath. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 talks about settling those kinds of disagreements. For people swear by something greater than themselves. And in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation, just like Jacob and Laban in the Old Testament. So that's how we use oaths. And Jesus, in this passage, I'm going to tell you in a little bit that Jesus didn't say stop using oaths. We'll define that in a little bit. Oaths are still needed today. So that's point number two. This passage is not against taking oaths, for the Bible has many examples of people taking oaths. And we're going to see in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul took oaths as well. So there must be some misunderstanding about what Jesus is saying here, and I'll get to that in a minute to explain what he said by saying, just say yes or no, but don't do what you're doing. So turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. The Bible tells us when you do this, when you take an oath, here's what you do. It is the Lord your God. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name, Yahweh, you shall swear. What does that mean? When you take an oath, I swear by God Almighty above, I will do this or else. So that's the idea behind the oaths. God is telling us this is how you are to do it. In fact, I think Jesus was referring to us to Deuteronomy chapter 23. So turn there in your Bible as well. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 21 to 23. If you make a vow, and I'll tell the difference between a vow and an oath in a minute. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you. And you'll be guilty of sin if you don't. But if you refrain from vowing, it's okay. You will not be guilty of any sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed through your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. So be careful what you do. So how is a vow different from an oath? Well, if you go to the court of law and they say, put your hand on the Bible, swear on the Bible, swear by God, that's an oath. You swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. A vow is different. A vow means I'm going to pay back. I'm asking God to do me this blessing. God, if you bless me in this area or give me a favor, then I will commit this to you. I will pay you back. I will voluntarily give back to you exactly what Hannah did. Hannah was there before Eli in the Old Testament and saying, Lord, my womb is barren and I'd love to have a child. And so pleading with God, if you give me a child, if you open my womb, then I will give the firstborn back to you. I'll dedicate him to the service of the Lord, which is exactly what she did with Samuel. And that's a vow. I'm going to pay you back. You do this for me, God. I will do that for you. But Solomon tells us, be very careful with vows. Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. Be very careful. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it back, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Okay? So, oaths and vows, you who are married, did that already on your wedding day. You came before a pastor, most likely, and you stood before your spouse, and you said your vows. That's what we say. They're wedding vows. I pledge to you before God and these witnesses that I'll be faithful to you in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, until death do us part. Wedding vows. We still use them. They're right. They're good. We ought to. Number three, the Pharisees were fudging. The Pharisees were fudging on their oaths and their vows by removing God directly from the oath. If they can bypass God and use some other highly valued object that has no authority at all, they came up with a new system. I swear by heaven. I swear by earth. I swear by the temple in Jerusalem. I swear by the hair of my head. That's fudging. That's just taking God out of the oath. And that's what Jesus is saying. Who controls heaven? God has his throne in heaven. Who controls the earth? It's his footstool. Where's the capital city? It's Jerusalem. God owns the capital city and is in control of the capital city. Who controls the number of hairs on your head? God does. So why don't you just go directly to God and say, this is what I want you to do. I swear by God. You know how we used to do this when we were children? I bet you did. Well, at least I did. You know, if I didn't want to tell the truth, what'd I do? Right? You crossed your fingers, and what'd you do? You held them behind your back, right? That's exactly what the Pharisees are doing right here. They're acting like little children, crossing their fingers, holding behind their back, and saying, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. No, they won't. They want to get away with it. Number four. Jesus was not telling them never to make oaths. Okay? That's not the point. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, stop it. Stop what you're doing. This is sacrilegious. This is wrong. You're trying to make promises that you never intend to keep. Your word is no good. And you're pretending by using all these other avenues to back up your oath that it's going to be a valid oath. No, it's not. Get back to being truthful. Find some integrity in your hearts. Stop this. So Jesus was never telling them to stop taking oaths. He was saying, stop. Stop what you're doing. Better to never take an oath than to do it the way you're doing it at all. So stop it. Okay? So how do we know that we can take oaths today? And this is what Jesus is not telling us, that we can't ever take an oath again or can't ever take a vow again, because Paul did. And we do it for wedding vows. So turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 or chapter 1, verse 23. Where Paul is saying he's swearing an oath. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 23, but I call God to witness against me, he said. That's an oath. And that's exactly what he's doing. I swear to God, God is my witness. Here's what I intended to do. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Here's my travel plans. And I'm swearing that my travel plans haven't really changed, even though circumstances have, but here's the intent of my heart. I swear to God. It's an oath. So Paul did it. I'm sure others did it as well, and we can too. So it's not that Jesus is saying don't ever take an oath. Oaths are a good thing sometimes. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 23, because here Jesus is expounding again more about this passage of Scripture and this problem that the Pharisees continue to do. Matthew 23, verses 16 to 22. Woe to you, Pharisees, you blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing, doesn't mean anything. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, well, then he's bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater? The gold? just a stone, it's just rock, it's just a material. The gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? Yeah, the temple made the gold sacred, according to the Lord. And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it's nothing, it doesn't matter. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he's bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. It's the Lord's altar. It's God's temple. So if you're going to swear by the temple, you're swearing by the God who lives in that temple. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Stop this frivolous nonsense, Jesus says. Be people of integrity. Make your word be good. Application number one is all about lying. It's all about lying. And God despises liars. You can debate this all you want. I've had debates out here in the comments. No, God doesn't hate anybody. Yes, he does. He does. He hates liars. Proverbs 12:22. If you don't believe that, look at Proverbs 5 or Psalm 5 sometime. But Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. When you made that oath and never intended to keep it, you're lying. You're lying. So lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Proverbs 6:16 and 17, there are six things that the Lord absolutely hates. Actually seven that are an abomination to him. Number one, haughty, eyes. A proud spirit, haughty eyes. Number two, what's number two thing that God hates the most is a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. Psalm 119, 163, I hate, God says, and abhor falsehood. So number one, it's all about lying, and God despises liars. Now, number two, though, that point's valid, but number two, why? Why does God hate lying so much as well as the ones doing the lying? Why does he hate liars? Well, because it's all about his glory. It's all about depriving God of his glory. If we as believers are infused with the righteousness of God, our sinful natures have been removed, a new nature has been implanted, and the Holy Spirit is now within us and moving us in the direction of godliness, and we tell the world, look at me because I'm a reflection of God, I'm a reflection of Jesus Christ, and they look at us and they say, you lie? You lie? Dishonest? You have no integrity? And you're saying that God is in you and the Holy Spirit is in you, so that means that your God who is in you is your reflection of that? It deprives God of his glory. Deprives God of his glory. The followers reflect their leader, then God must be a proud and deceitful liar in the minds of non-believers. No, God cares a lot about his glory. And he wants people all over the world to see his glory, to see his beauty, to fall in love with his beauty, and to fall in love with him. That's why we preach the gospel, the glorious gospel. It changes hearts. It shows transformation. It shows the glory of God inside the church, the new temple of God. That's why we do it. Jim, come, close our time in prayer. Congregation, let's stand, and I invite many of you to stay and watch as we study a survey of the Bible. But let's fellowship out there first before we do. Let's stand together.